From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, we've got the big verdict on Game Week 27 and our Game Week 28 convictions. We ponder, can we afford Bale? And does Bruno need a rest? Everything you need for the weekend and beyond in the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Thanks for joining us. Ahead of Game Week 27, we've still got Game Week 26 rumbling on in the background. Three games coming up this Thursday evening as we record Liverpool-Chelsea, the big one. But in the meantime, joining us here on the official FPL pod are Daniel Storey. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, James.
Football writer and author. Lee Bonfield of the FPL family.
Hey, James.
Hi, Lee. And also joining us, we hope very shortly, Julien Laurens, highly in demand international football broadcaster and expert, and purveyor of left field FPL choices as well. Lee, just while we wait for Jules to turn up, good week so far?
Yeah, not too bad, actually. Not too well, mixed. Probably mixed. I played the bench boost chip this week because I really fancied Leeds to do well against Aston Villa, and that didn't go so well. So the bench boost has netted me a grand total of 6 points, which, yeah, I was trying to think back to a time when actually an FPL chip had gone well for me and couldn't think of one. And so it's proved again this year. I've burnt the bench boost chip. But elsewhere, the team looks all right. Diaz and Shaw doing well at the back. In fact, the defence really coming in for me. Robertson with 7 so far, with one more game to play against Chelsea. So, 80 points at the moment. And doing okay. Yeah, doing okay.
Right. And you're up in the what, 77k worldwide?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, about 70-odd k, yeah.
Not checked much, but okay, good.
Yeah, right. 77,500 to be exact. Yeah.
Daniel, your thoughts on Game Week 26. As expected, one team dominating the points, that team being Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I mean, the predictable nature of this season in both scheduling and results continues. I also bench boosted. It's actually gone okay. I've only got 70 so far, but I've still got 4 players to play. So, not bad. It's just the captaincy choices that are killing me again. I went in Ilkay Gundogan, and yeah, I mean, I actually got lucky that he came off the bench and got an assist.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I mentioned Palace, though. Looking at the big performers, as I say, 3 games still to play, but Gate has got 16, Cahill 16 as well, Ward with 15, Patrice Van Aanholt 14, and very nearly added a goal to that as well. Not sure any of you considering Palace assets for the game weeks ahead?
I don't think many of us would have predicted the scores that have come in, to be fair. I think There's a lot of Bruno Fernandes captainers this week that would have been very disappointed with that lack of points against them in the game the other day. So, but no, not really, James, no. And they don't play in game week 29 either. They have a blank upcoming. So, yeah, not on my radar.
Okay. As you mentioned, Bruno Fernandes captainers, and there were lots of them, 1.4 million. He was the most selected for the armband. And he had yet another blank. I think we've got some big decisions ahead of us about Bruno Fernandes. Daniel certainly is on the brink of making one. We'll come into that very shortly. But the other really popular player coming into Game Week 26 was Harvey Barnes, who was the most transferred in by managers worldwide. And what a disappointment for him principally, but also for them to see him go off injured like that. That was a major blow to so many managers worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in tremendous form, probably would have got in the England squad.
I think so.
I mean, the problem with Barnes at Leicester is there's absolutely nobody that replaces what he does. Kengi Zunda hasn't really fired this season. Mark Albrighton's a slightly jobbing fantasy Premier League player. You can't really hang your hat on him. I think Leicester are a team that people are maybe shying away from, not just Harvey Barnes, but also elsewhere in the team because of the effect he has.
Right. A 1-1 draw with Burnley in the following game, in the double game week for the Foxes. So, yeah, there's not too many options there. And a lot of the players that you would have gone, like Harvey Barnes, are actually now out of the picture. On a more positive note, 2 things. One, Julien Laurens has now joined us. Hey, Jules.
Hello, guys.
Hello. And secondly, Spurs. This kind of new positive trend that we were thinking could be possible has emerged in the Premier League as well, with Gareth Bale in particular catching the eye at the weekend. 19 points. Lee.
Oh, James, I thought this was going to be a safe haven for me. I thought I could escape the conversation about Bale and Spurs, which has been going on all week in our house. But
has Sam brought in Gareth Bale?
She hasn't, but I can tell you the excitement was, you know, it was peak Bale hysteria at the weekend. And yeah, I mean, that front three of Spurs looked great, didn't they? I mean, maybe we'll talk about the performance of Burnley later on, but Bale in particular looked fantastic, didn't he? So what a differential he could be in FPL for us going forward.
We thought it was just going to be a Europa League thing, but there they are playing together in the Premier League. He's racked up 19 points. He's been involved now in 7 goals in his last 4 appearances for Spurs in all competitions. A lot of Spurs chat on the way. Jules, how was your game week 26 so far?
It's not too bad. I've got 64 points and I still have Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Ding to play. I triple captain Kane, which had a decent first game against Burnley. And I'm hoping, obviously, that he will do better against Fulham. But yeah, it could have been much better. I should have known about Bruno Fernandes and Rashford, that they're completely shattered. And I'm not sure how much points they can get in the next few weeks because of how many games they've played.
Right. And the games they're going to be playing as well. Yeah. Games like the Manchester Derby, one of the premier fixtures of Game Week 27, which starts 12:30 Saturday lunchtime. Let's have a quick romp through then the games coming up for your FPL players. Game Week 27. The deadline is 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, UK time, 90 minutes before Burnley take on Arsenal at Turf Moor. Also on Saturday, you've got Sheffield United up against Saints, Villa facing Wolves, and then Brighton hosting Leicester. On Sunday, West Brom take on Newcastle on a massive game in the relegation scrap. Liverpool are up against Fulham. It's the Manchester Derby at the Etihad. And there's a London Derby too between Spurs and Crystal Palace. On Monday, 2 more games with Chelsea taking on Everton and West Ham up against Leeds. And then you've got one extra fixture for the two teams which are double game weeking it in 27, which are Man City and Saints. So, now, we mentioned Manchester United and Bruno Fernandes. Do you want to lead us off on this, Daniel? Because you've got a big decision.
Yeah, I think this is the week that I take Bruno out. I was half considering it last week. But I bench boosted, thought, well, let's just leave the rash decisions for a week at a time. But yeah, I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to take him out either for Son or Bale. I'll probably play slightly safer and go for Son and make him captain. But yes, I think my patience has run out. Exactly as Jules said, it's not just the fact that he had a bad week. It's that he looks shattered and looks to have played an awful lot of football.
Right. They've got the Manchester Derby this weekend, have Man United. Then 28, they're up against West Ham. By no means a gimme, that one. And then they don't have a game in game week 29. So, yeah, there's a certain amount of logic behind your decision. Jules?
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely with Daniel on that. I think it's time to ask yourself the question about Bruno Fernandes, as painful as it is. And same with Rashford. And I think defensively, United would be okay going forward. But it's a really tricky one. We had, do you remember that discussion about Mo Salah as well a few weeks ago on do you keep him or not? I think he blanked for quite a few weeks in a row as well. And it's so unusual. Usually those big name players, you just don't transfer them out. But maybe it's time to maybe do a De Bruyne swap for Bruno Fernandes swap for Kevin De Bruyne.
Mm. If you don't already have 3 Manchester City players, of course, which of course. I think a lot of people will have with their current form, and also the fact that they do actually have the double fixture in 27, and one of the games is against Southampton, and we know what their record's like at the moment. So would you be following Daniel in getting Bruno Fernandes out?
I think I might bench him, try to find a way of just benching him and just keeping him in the squad, because I think he will come back to being, I mean, United cannot afford not to have a good Bruno Fernandes anyway. So there will be a point where he comes back and be really good again and score a lot of points. There's no way this will stop between now and the end of the season. So it's either I do like Dan and I let him go, or I try to keep him maybe and see how the rest of the squad is to just maybe playing. The issue I have is there's the 2 Milan games. And had they had a draw like Spurs with Dinamo Zagreb, no offense to Dinamo Zagreb fans listening to us, it would have been much easier because he would not have played as much. Now he has to play the 2 Milan games, 100%. He has to play the Manchester Derby. So you can't even rest him, even if you wanted to, if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So it's such a big dilemma.
Mm. Lee, where do you stand on this thorny issue?
I don't think I'm as convinced as the guys, although I do accept everything the guys have said. And I do think that United are lacking something without Pogba. as well. I think he enables Bruno to go and play the way that we want him to play as FPL managers. And again, if I look at the fixtures, you know, the Manchester derby, Manchester United have made a habit of pulling out nil-nils against the top sides, right? They've become experts in getting those clean sheets and stopping those other top six sides from scoring. So it wouldn't shock you to see, you know, a low-scoring Manchester derby. Then it's a West Ham game, like you say, not a given, and then a blank. So I can see where the justification is coming from, although I find it incredible that you would move from somebody who's been so consistently good for us, Bruno Fernandes, over such a long period of time, to somebody like Gareth Bale, who's coming off the back of, you know, one or two good performances. But Daniel, I can see the move to Son being a good one. So I do like that. So I'm a bit torn, James, to be honest with you, but I'd maybe not move on quite so hastily as the guys.
Wow. Just think of all the money. Just think of all the places you could spend that money around FPL. Woof. I'm excited. Beyond the Bruno question in the Manchester derby, any other tactical moves, transfers you're looking at doing? Have we all got three Man City?
I have, yes.
Yeah, and is it Gundogan and two defenders? Or
it is for me. It's Gundogan and two defenders. Yeah, I've got Cancelo and Diaz at the back, and I still back them for clean sheets, despite the odd goal given away to Wolves the other night. But Gundogan's an interesting one. I'd be interested to hear what you guys are doing with him, because in the last couple of games since Kevin De Bruyne has been back, the underlying stats haven't been quite as good as they have been, you know, before when Kevin De Bruyne was absent. So there's been a lot of rhetoric in the Twitter community about how Gundogan's ability to get FPL points is kind of curtailed a little bit by Kevin De Bruyne coming back. I don't necessarily see that. I mean, he came off the bench and got an assist last game, didn't he? So what do you guys think? Got Gundogan?
They played really well together at Chelsea, for example, where there was no number nine. De Bruyne plays as a false number nine. Gundogan was there, and Foden, the three of them, and Sterling as well, just tore Chelsea apart. I agree with you in the sense that I don't think Gundogan would be the same player as he was before when De Bruyne was injured. And also, if you play De Bruyne and a proper number nine, Gabriel Jesus or Sergio Aguero, that takes, again, a lot away from the movement that that Gundogan will have, especially making those runs in the box. And again, his best game was certainly Liverpool away when there was no number nines, and he has all that, and no De Bruyne either, and he had all that freedom to run and go wherever he wanted. And I think it's a valid question to think about Gundogan now and maybe taking off your team, because not that he's expensive, but I'm not sure he will have the same impact now that De Bruyne is back, and now that it seems Aguero and Gabriel Jesus certainly look like being the starters pretty much in the games.
That's one of the difficulties with Gundogan, though, is that taking him out of your team, it doesn't really give you a lot of money to move to other premium midfield assets. Okay, but you're sticking with Gundogan for the moment. Jules and the likes of Gabriel Jesus with his brace the other day against Wolves, not tempting you?
The thing about Gabriel Jesus, he's so good at the Etihad. I think he's returned 45 goals between the goals he scored and the assist. And I think he's going to start on Sunday against United. And I think City play a very different one. Not a very different one, but play differently when Gabriel Jesus or Sergio Aguero is up front, but especially Gabriel Jesus. And I think Gabriel Jesus could be a very interesting choice considering how low ownership he has. And so there's a case of selling Gundogan and letting him go, because again, I don't think he will have the same returns that he had previously. Okay. And maybe getting Gabriel Jesus in.
Daniel, three goals in three games for Everton's Richarlison, but a trip to Stamford Bridge this weekend. Discuss.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea-Everton, for me, really interesting fixture, because Chelsea have turned into this kind of grinding, gutsy, gritty team under Tuchel, where we kind of expected them. He started at PSG and at Dortmund with this flurry of goals. And at Chelsea, it's been the opposite. You know, then his nine games in all competitions before the Liverpool game, we should say, have only returned 12 goals in total for both teams combined. So I'm looking at defenders in this fixture. I think that Luka Dean, Jules mentioned him in his team. He's Everton's second highest point scoring defender, and he's missed eight games. I think he's coming back into form. He's got assists in his last two before the West Brom game, so I think he's a good option. And at Chelsea, I'm looking at Andreas Christensen maybe. He's back in the team. He's only 4.7 million and 0.2% ownership. There's clearly a worry about the rotation, but with Thiago Silva being out still, I think he's a good option. He looks solid, and I think Tuchel likes him.
What do you make of that, Lee?
Well, I don't know about that. I Christensen, for me, he's looked okay, I think, in this new system. But I think you've got Rudiger there, who I think is also quite well liked by Tuchel, and I think there's less of a rotation risk with him. Yeah, the Chelsea defence is definitely investable, given what we've seen so far under Tuchel. But again, you go back to the, you know, if you're looking at your team for game week 29 in the way that I am, and I've got, you know, only a certain amount of transfers now to set up for that, then a Chelsea defender, right, I don't think I'm going to be bringing them in because they don't have the game in 29. Now, as you come out 29 into 30 and 31, they play West Brom at home, Crystal Palace away. So I think, yeah, if you've got the wild card still in your back pocket and you're planning to play that around 31, 30, then yeah, probably, you know, the Chelsea team, particularly defenders, are ones to look at. But I think I'd go Rudiger over Christensen, I'm afraid, Daniel.
Let's talk about two teams who are going to be playing game week 29 and who face each other this weekend then, Lee. I'm talking about Leeds and West Ham.
Yeah, so that's an important game, I think, for those of us that are employing the same strategy that I am, which is to, I don't like this phrase, but to kind of dead end my team to 29, which means I'm going to use my transfers to get as best a team as I can out for 29 with a view to wildcarding in 30-31. Of course, West Ham and Leeds are two teams that play in that game week 29. So this is very much a scouting mission for me. I'll be looking at which players that I want. Just to pick on a couple of players that have really impressed me recently. One is Rafinha. Over the last six matches, he is top for big chances created, expected assists, so the XA statistic, as well as second for chances created and fifth for goal attempts and expected goal involvement. So whichever statistic, whichever attacking statistic you want to look at or employ, he is looking really, really good indeed. And at only 5.4, incredible value. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's not going to be 5.4 million for much longer, and certainly not for next season. So he's one that I've got my eye on from a Leeds perspective. I have him in my team right now, and he's going to stay, absolutely. The other player that I want to call out is Mikel Antonio. Over the last four matches, top for expected goals and second only to Salah for big chances accumulated. So he is definitely in all the right areas, posting all the right underlying stats for us as FPL managers. And actually in 27, that fixture looks great. You know, Leeds United, who we know, you know, often I watch Leeds United, I think it's a really entertaining game because they ship so many goals and they score so many goals. So I'm not expecting too many clean sheets for West Ham versus Leeds at the weekend, but I would expect maybe Rafinha and Antonio to get amongst the goals.
Jules, you were nodding at the suggestion of Mikel Antonio.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Rafinha, as you know, I'm a big fan anyway, so it's all good. I agree with Lee. The only thing with Antonio, though, is the fitness. And I'm just not sure, considering how much he runs and how much he gives to this team, I don't know how fit he is right now, considering he came back not so long ago from an injury. And because of the way West Ham played, I'm just not sure if he can keep that kind of level between now and for the next few games. So yeah, so that's the only question mark I have. But I had him before and he was really good. And I just took him out for player that played double game week and I swapped him with Calvert-Lewin. So I could definitely bring him on. I'm just a bit worried about his fitness and him being injured again at some point.
Mm. Well, with a view to game week 29, we'll look in a moment or two at some of the other options for teams that will be having a fixture then. But from this weekend, another game that's probably worth mentioning is Tottenham Hotspur against Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, who have thrown a spanner in the works of both Brighton and Man United in short succession. Will they do the same to all these people buying in Gareth Bale and that?
Yes, I think we should be looking at them. Yeah, I've noticed in the last couple of games a marked improvement, or at least a marked change in their underlying attacking statistics. I think certainly Mourinho has kind of embraced this new front three of Son, Kane and Bale. And he's, to use his own phrase from his Manchester United days, he's kind of letting the horses run free a little bit in this Spurs side, isn't he? Now, I don't think that we're going to see that tactic employed in some of the bigger games. When Spurs come up against Arsenal, for example, in game week 28, I think we'll see a more reserved Spurs. And again, in 31 against Manchester United. But this Crystal Palace game in game week 27 is primed for the front three to be unleashed again in the same way that they were against Burnley. Now, I don't know whether Crystal Palace are going to be quite as obliging as that Burnley defence was. That kind of high energy, high press, very unusual Burnley looking backline at the weekend. I was very surprised at the way that Dyche and Burnley approached that game. So I don't think we're going to see quite the same approach from Crystal Palace, but I do think that we'll see the same approach from Spurs. And we've mentioned Bale already as a differential. Daniel's thinking about bringing in him and or Heung-min Son, who I think is also a good pick. And of course, Harry Kane. So if you're looking at any of those guys, or indeed Reguilón at the back, who I think added to the way that Spurs attacked in that Burnley game, he is an extra outlet out wide on the left that they really missed him, I think, when he wasn't there. So yeah, lots of options for Spurs. And of course, got that game in 29. So we should be looking at them.
Okay. Reguilón, not sure if Roy Keane would have him in his fantasy team. But for the rest of us, possibly a good idea. All right. Well, we're throwing forward. We can't help it. All our decisions at the moment are made with that awareness of who's playing in 29 and who isn't. So next up, let's take a long view at what the next few weeks hold in FPL. Long view, everybody. I've got my FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating, and the key colour this week, and I think for the last couple of weeks, has been black squares. Black squares up and down the row mark 29, because only eight teams are going to be performing two rounds from now. So that's having a massive bearing on everything we're doing. The eight teams that are in action are Brighton against Newcastle, Leeds against Fulham, West Ham Arsenal, and Spurs Villa. Where are you guys investing for your game week 29 teams in there? Which teams are you putting your faith in? Daniel?
I'm looking towards Arsenal. I mean, I've already said that I'm going to make a Spurs change this week. But Arsenal have the double benefit of A, playing in all of the next six game weeks, or scheduled to play in all the next six game weeks, including 29, but also having some pretty handy fixtures. They play Burnley, Sheffield United and Fulham in those six. And the one player I'm potentially looking at is Bukayo Saka. We talked earlier about Ilkay Gundogan not being particularly expensive and therefore it being hard to bring someone in for him. I think Gundogan to Saka is a potentially excellent transfer. He's still only 5.2 million. He's still a differential. He's only 8.8%. And I just think the danger with Arsenal is the rotation, but he is probably their most informed player. And at that value, you know, that price tag, I think he's an absolute bargain.
Yeah, I'm making the same move. I think Gundogan for Saka. Saka has been Arsenal's best player. He's the one that makes things happen in that team. And even if they play West Ham and Spurs, also among those six fixtures that Dan just mentioned, I think for me, it's a no-brainer. He will get you points. He's so young that he's full of energy. I don't think he gets tired. If you wanted to go for another Arsenal player, I think Kieran Tierney is also a good choice because he's still quite cheap, 5.2. Again, a differential. He's owned by 4.3% of the managers. And everything that's happening in this Arsenal team is either Tierney or Saka. Anyway, with Tierney, you can get some clean sheets at times, maybe not against Spurs and West Ham, but certainly in the other games that Dan mentioned. So I think Tierney or Saka, probably more Saka, has to come in for the team that play in game week 29, for example, if you prepare for that weekend.
Would Pepe figure in your thinking at all? Because he's also been quite active in making things happen.
Yes, and it's a good shot because he's very low ownership too. I just think, and knowing him so well, there's still a bit of inconsistency in him right now and in the way he plays. And let's not forget that Saka, and I think Mikel Arteta knows it, is so much better on the right-hand side than anywhere else in that team, which is where Pepe has been playing recently, the game against Leicester, for example, where he was that good. He was on that right-hand side. So it'd be interesting to see how they play, how they play in the next game against Burnley and then think about Spurs and West Ham. But yeah, Pepe, it could be a good shot, James, actually. You're right.
I wouldn't, but, just...
no, but it's interesting.
So this move from Gundogan to, say, Saka, are you looking to do that this weekend or is this after this double game week for Man City?
It could be after the double game week for City and keep Gundogan, although I'm not sure Gundogan will start both games for City, as we saw Pep and his rotation is back in the fold, to be fair.
That's Arsenal then. Equally, West Ham. Now, we mentioned Mikel Antonio. West Ham, by the way, have Leeds coming up this weekend. Then they got Man United away in game week 28. Sorry, and then they've got Arsenal at home in 29. What about young Jesse Lingard? 6 million, only 4.8% ownership, and he's got a really good return rate at the moment in the games he's had for West Ham.
Yeah, he's looking really good, isn't he? And I think Antonio is benefiting from him as well. He's the one beating the two or three players and putting it on a plate for Antonio, who is a penalty box dweller kind of striker, isn't he, Antonio? But Lingard is making all the difference. 6 million, as you say, James, so in that really nice price bracket. Since his debut, only four more players in the league have had more goal attempts than Jesse Lingard. He's had 16 and he's created five chances in that period as well. So there's creativity, there's threat. He's got a whole new lease of life here under David Moyes in a way that I don't think many of us were expecting. So, yeah, I mean, bring him in. He looks really, really good. And, of course, they play in game week 29. So he's got you covered there as well.
One thing we should say about Lingard is that because he's on loan from Manchester United, he won't be eligible to play in that away game at Old Trafford.
Absolutely true.
But, yeah, to be honest, at 6 million, curses, you'd be prepared to bench him for that one game anyway, I think.
That's true. I mean, it does tie up a midfield slot, but all the other factors are pretty positive as regards Jay Lings. Brighton against Newcastle, Leeds, Fulham, West Ham, Arsenal and Spurs, Villa. Any other gems there that you think could really bring you some points in 29?
Well, I think we need to look at Aston Villa. I mean, despite the current malaise over the last couple of games, they've, you know, is it too obvious a thing to say that they're missing Grealish? I don't think it is. I think he's the talisman. He's the one that they all pivot around, right? So they are missing him. I think they're missing a bit of balance with Matty Cash at the back as well. Having said that, the fixtures, they've got Wolves at home this game week in 27, then Newcastle away. They've got you know, a difficult looking game at home to Spurs in 29, but nevertheless, it is a game. So if you've got Martinez, I think you stick with him. And if you've got the likes of Ollie Watkins, I think you probably stick with him too. Although I don't see me adding to my Aston Villa ranks at the moment, unless I see a bit of an upturn in form against Wolves.
I think if you look at Leeds as well, we talked about Rafinha and he's been so good for them that you could bring him in. Bamford, a lot of us have Bamford or had Bamford or will have Bamford who plays in game 29. It's true, Dallas has been so good for them and he's so cheap and it's such a wise choice if you want and if you're looking for that kind of player in your team. I think, again, just go for it.
So the only other one I'd mention would be a player who somehow still isn't in my team, which is the very obvious Thomas Souček, because he's cheap. He scores lots of points and somehow he's not good enough to get into my squad. Not quite sure why.
Well, you know what? He hasn't actually been returning much of late, Souček. It's been a while since he had an attacking return. I think I'm right in saying.
The caveat to that is that they are playing Manchester United, who are pretty wretched at defending set pieces. And that is his forte, those kind of late runs into the box on set pieces. So that might be a good option.
Well, next up, let's have a look at your answers to this week's Twitter question, which was basically a request for your best differential suggestions. Using the hashtag FPLpod, we tweeted, who is the best differential going forward, 10% ownership or lower? Some of your answers. Josh says Lingard, if he keeps his current form. I can also see Bale being a good differential too. Zinchenko, says Jonathan, owned by 0.7%, seems to play just as much as the other City defenders and keeps pumping in crosses to bump him up in the bonus point system. Is Zinchenko actually producing returns at the moment then?
Well, he's playing reasonably often because Mendy seems to be a kind of persona non grata or a kind of constant bench option. He's one of those Man City players, almost like Gundogan was for a while, who is good filler. In that he plays quite a lot for Manchester City. They're keeping a lot of clean sheets and he's remarkably cheap. So I think he's a good option as that third Manchester City player if you take out Gundogan.
Okay. Would either of you two, Lee and Julian, consider bringing in Zinchenko?
Not for me, I think, no. And the reason I wouldn't is because I think my three Manchester City slots in my FPL team are pretty sacred right now, aren't they? I mean, they've got the double game week coming up. And of course, they look as if they're going to, you know, go ahead and win this Premier League, don't they, right now? And of course, with the Champions League around that, then there is going to be that rotation. And I don't think Zinchenko is immune to that, right? So I think I'll be saving my three slots for other Manchester City options.
All right, then. And Julian, I can see you agree. So I'll move on to Daniel's suggestion. This is another Daniel. Daniel's got us pretty much covered. He suggests Sigurdsson, Jesus, El Ghazi, Reguilón and Tielemans. Tielemans, of course, slightly less attractive given the way that his Leicester, the team around him has been weakened by injuries and that. But he's been looking good. Any of those five you're considering? No?
Well, Reguilón for me is the one I'm absolutely looking at. Yeah, so I have Luke Shaw in my team right now. And he's been pretty good for me. Got me two clean sheets, 12 points last game week. So not to be sniffed at all. However, in the same way that we spoke about Bruno Fernandes and our Manchester United assets, it's Man City next and it's West Ham and the blank. So unlike the guys, I don't think I'm going to jump off of Bruno Fernandes, but I could be tempted to maybe look elsewhere for Luke Shaw. And with a few more FPL pounds that I have in the bank, I could make a straight move for Reguilón. You know, got the game in 29, looked fantastic against Burnley. He almost kind of added that extra dimension off the left when Bale and the other Spurs forwards kind of congregated in the middle. He was the one providing the width on the left flank and Spurs kind of switched to that back three and let him get forward and join the attack. And, you know, his underlying stats look pretty good. He passed the eye test for me since, you know, the last two games he's played since he's come back from injury. And if you are Sam, the other half of FPL family, she'll tell you that he's pretty integral to the way that Spurs side attacks. So I fancy him for points at both ends of the pitch against Crystal Palace. So I am considering him for this week.
Okay. Is he, though, more of an assist to the assister type figure, or is he actually getting attacking returns?
Well, I think he's got the potential to get attacking returns. And I noticed he's had a lot of shots in the box as well. The last four games that he's played, he's had five shots on target. So, you know, a bit of goal threat there. There's obviously some assist potential as well with the quality that he's got around him. And like I said before, with Crystal Palace there, I expect he'll get a clean sheet as well. So, yeah, I like the look of him.
Okay. Ariaman says Richarlison for sure if you don't own Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Aguero, once he hits form, he's only at like 1.2%, I think. That's absolutely right, Ariaman. He is at 1.2%, which is extraordinary numbers for the great Kuhn. And Ariaman also suggests Giroud, who is not bad as well under Tuchel. Jules, interesting to get your thoughts on this. And also on Phil's suggestion of Aubameyang. Phil says, although I won't be bringing him in, Aubameyang represents the highest potential score over the next three game weeks. What do you think, Jules? Probably these are both your best friends. So you can't have them in your FPL team.
No, because I would be too scared.
Right. But for people who are not friendly with them.
Aubameyang is a big risk simply because of the price that you will have to pay. And despite the great form that we saw against Benfica, against Newcastle, against Leeds, of course, it's still a gamble that you can take, but it costs you a lot of money compared to some of the other differential that we mentioned who are far more attractive price-wise. For Giroud, the problem is, I still think one of Tuchel's problems, and Dan described them pretty well earlier, is that they don't create enough chances full stop anyway for Giroud or Abraham or anybody else in that team. And I think that he scored an amazing goal against Atleti because he had to almost create it himself for himself and score it. And we saw against United, for example, that there was hardly nothing coming his way apart from that cross from Hudson-Odoi where if he had Dan's haircut, for example, he might have scored that goal, but he clearly didn't have enough hair on his head and just missed the ball by not much. So I'm not sure about Giroud as much as I would love to encourage people to get him.
Okay. Aubameyang, by the way, 11.3 million. So that is a significant gamble if you're willing to get him in. Very good. Well, next up then, let's conclude by finding out exactly what moves Daniel Lee and Julien are proposing to make, and also who's going to get to wear the captain's armband. Righty ho, decision time. Lee, you are considering Reguilón.
Yes.
Is that going to be your move for 27?
Well, at time of recording, we're still yet to see the second Spurs game in game week 26, and I'm really interested to see what sort of approach Mourinho takes, because if he truly is going to let the horses run free, and this is now their new philosophy, then I'm probably going to want Harry Kane in my team at some stage. Not least because
you don't have Harry Kane.
I don't have Harry Kane right now. No, I'm only on Son. He's my only Spurs player. So given that they've got obviously the game in 29, Crystal Palace coming up, I do feel like Harry Kane is one that I'll want to bring in. Now, I can do that with a -4. I can upgrade Dominic Calvert-Lewin to Kane, and I'd have to downgrade Robertson to a 4.2 defender. But I've got my eye on Lascelles from Newcastle. If I was going to do that. But if I don't think that's the approach that Mourinho is going to take going forward and they are going to be a bit more conservative, then I might start to look at the Reguilón move and do Shaw to Reguilón probably as my only transfer, and then maybe have a look at where else I might want to do a -4. So lots to be still decided with my team, and a lot of it's going to hang on the sort of Spurs that we see in the fixture in game week 26.
Okay, I've just got to collect my eyebrows off the ceiling after you said about getting in a Newcastle player. But then checking the fixtures coming up, it's not as crazy as it sounds. They're facing West Brom, and then 28 they're up against Villa, and then in 29 they've got the notoriously goal shy Brighton. So yeah, could work out for you, Daniel. What about you?
Yeah, I mean the Bruno to Son move has been already well touted. I had a differential pick who I am still thinking about bringing in this week, which is Riyad Mahrez, who is 3.7% owned. He's a 14th highest scoring midfielder and still only 8.1 million. But crucially, he's only started three of City's seven Champions League games this season. It feels like he's being used more as a starter in the Premier League, and he's returned in his last four in the Premier League. So he's probably one to wait until maybe further down the line with him not playing 29. But yeah, I'm tempted for the double game week to... I've got Phil Foden and I've got enough money left in the bank to go from Foden to Mahrez. So that would be my other potential
right.
shout.
And with two fixtures, there's a chance that he should play at least one of them, you'd hope.
Yeah, and he returns when he plays, we had Mahrez.
Jules?
So Bukayo Saka, for me, coming in, probably for Marcus Rashford, who needs a rest. And I just think the City game, plus everything that we explained earlier for Bruno, is also adequate for Marcus too. So I'm very tempted to do that. And then see what happened with Gundogan and then probably make a really panic move right before the deadline on maybe bringing Gabriel Jesus or Riyad Mahrez as well, because I will have enough money left for that. So we see.
Okay. And it's hard because we have got three games still to go in 26. But at the moment, do you have a thought on who you're going to make captain?
I keep Harry Kane. I'm very happy with Harry Kane as a captain. As we said, that famous motto about captains, don't captain them against the top six team. So I'm happy with Spurs against Crystal Palace and having Harry Kane being the captain for that.
Okay. Daniel?
If Son comes in, I will captain him. If I'm making a major change in the team, I like to make double down on it and make the team, the player that comes in, also my captain. And it's a lovely fixture as well. Failing that, if I do the Foden to Mahrez move, then a little bit of a loose end. I don't like captaining defenders, but I would consider captaining Andrew Robertson against Fulham, which is a very rogue shot.
Have you watched us defend recently, Daniel?
I love it. Yeah.
No, I like it. I mean, I'm flaring that up. I'm definitely going to bring in Son.
Okay. Probably best.
I'm astounded the guys are moving away from Manchester City. It's a Manchester City double game week. It has to be a City player for me. I think up until the Wolves game, I was a little bit concerned that Gundogan might not get the minutes that I'd want him to as captain in game week 27. But he got the rest, of course, came on, got the assist as well, just to prove to Pep that he should be starting every single game. So he's had the rest. I think, yeah, Captain Gundogan, for me, last game week, he showed, even though he got, you know, limited minutes in that double game week, last time City played, popped up with, I think, two goals and an assist. So he can do it in any given game. The other one that I would consider is Cancelo from Man City as well. He's had a rest recently as well. So I think that he's due a bit of a run in the team. It has to be a Man City player for me, and I'm leaning towards Gundogan right now.
Okay. Cancelo picked up, I think, just 2 points across these two fixtures in game week 26, but the future is unwritten. Very good. Best of luck, everybody. If you want more tips and scouting and numbers and resources, then head across to fantasy.premierleague.com, where you can get loads of articles and scouting stuff, and also the always highly informative FPL show with myself and Jules Breach. That's it for this edition, though, of the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. So many, many thanks to Daniel, to Julian and to Lee. Best of luck, listener. We'll catch up with you next week ahead of game week 28.